podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
Good morning. Please take time to look over the announcements in the bulletin. We're not going to go over all those this morning, but do want you to take an opportunity when you can to look over those to see what's coming up. If you would like to donate a flower to help decorate the front of the building for Easter morning, there's a list posted on the bulletin board, or you can call the office and let us know in whose memory you're donating the flower, and we'll be putting that in the bulletin next week. So if you'd like to do that, make sure that you sign the list or call the office. Please look over the other announcements. Number of things coming up here and happening. Please do look over the prayer list. Karen Baker is in Salem Hospital. She's been there most of the week and is having some tests and some health issues. She's bleeding and they're having a hard time finding out where the blood is coming from. So please add her to your prayer list. Also, Pat Hillier was scheduled to have surgery and they decided she's not going to have surgery now on her shoulder. They found she has tennis elbow and carpal tunnel, and she'll have an injection on Thursday here. I think April 1st, is that the day, April 1st? So please keep Pat in your prayer. That's good news, she's not gonna have to have surgery, but she's been in a lot of pain, so keep it in your prayer that this will work for her. Let's take a moment and go to God in silent prayer. Amen. My scripture text this morning is in John chapter 9. We're going to be looking at verse 16. This isn't working. John chapter 9, if you get that up there, verse 16. Finally, Pilate handed him, and of course that is Jesus, over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. It was customary back then when somebody was condemned to be crucified that they carried their own cross. Ann Myers writes this, "There is something deeply disturbing about a person having to carry the instrument of his death. It is like someone carrying the rope that is going to hang him, or someone sharpening the axe that will chop off his own head. Jesus is not allowed to have a moment of peace before his death because the reminder of his death is literally upon his shoulders." Golgotha was just out the city gates. Most scholars think it was about a third of a mile from Pilate's palace to Golgotha, the place where Jesus would be crucified. There would have been a Roman in front of Jesus, a Roman soldier, Roman soldiers on both sides of Jesus, and one behind Jesus as he carried his cross. The streets of Jerusalem are narrow, and at this time of the year, because it was the Passover, there were 10 times more people there in Jerusalem than there would typically be. So the streets crowded with people. Now Matthew and Mark and Luke all write about something that happened on the way to Golgotha that John doesn't tell us about. Matthew 27:32, as they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon. And notice, they forced him to carry the cross. Mark will say the same thing. They forced him to carry the cross. Luke says they made him carry the cross behind Jesus. Now, why doesn't Jesus finish carrying his own cross to Calvary? Why is Simon forced to carry the cross? Most people theorize because Jesus was by this time too weak to carry the cross, that he would fall. He fell beneath the load. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that, but that is a good assumption. Under normal conditions, Jesus probably could have carried the cross. He did a lot of walking from Galilee to Jerusalem. And no doubt, he was physically strong. He was a carpenter. But the last day had been very hard on him. The last weeks had been hard on him, but especially the last day. He hadn't slept for 24 hours. The night before, he had spent time in Gethsemane in prayer. The apostles who were with him, they could not stay awake. They fell asleep, but Jesus did not sleep. The time that he spent in Gethsemane literally, sapped his strength. When in Gethsemane, Jesus says, "My soul was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." There he was arrested. His disciples deserted him. Peter that evening would deny him three times. He was tried and he was found guilty in an illegal Jewish court. John tells us one of the officials actually hit him in the face. And Mark tells us during the proceedings, some people spit on him and they struck him with their fist. Then the temple guards took him and they beat him. And then Pilate had him flogged. Now this was done using a whip made of leather straps, and the straps were interwoven with bone and lead. Josephus, who was a first century historian, he was a Jewish man, but he wrote for the Romans, but he wrote this. He said, the flogging Jesus received from the Roman guards left Jesus with bone and cartilage showing. We don't often think that it was that harsh, but it was. Many people were quite upset years ago when the movie The Passion of Christ came out because it graphically showed Jesus being flogged, and it was too bloody for many people. But that's how it was. That's exactly what happened. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14, we read a prophecy about the flogging. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So Jesus had gone through a lot the last 24 hours. And then they let him be crucified. Mark chapter 15, we read, the soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him and twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, Hail, King of the Jews. Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put on his own clothes. Then they led him out to crucify him. Now, I tell you all that just to tell you this. It's a good assumption that Jesus was too weak now to carry the cross any farther. Some people believe that Jesus only had to carry the crossbar. And that's very possible because that was common practice back in that day. If he had to carry just the crossbar, that would weigh about 100 pounds. If he had to carry the whole cross, that would weigh about 300 pounds. Whatever the case is, he was not able. He was not strong enough to do it. The Roman guards were not about to do it for him. They were not going to volunteer to carry the cross. So they grabbed someone from the crowd to carry the cross for him. His name was Simon. He was from Cyrene. And notice, Simon did not volunteer to carry the cross. He didn't see Jesus suffering and voluntarily said, hey, let me carry that cross for him. The Bible reminds us over and over and over again, he was forced to carry the cross. He was drafted. He didn't volunteer. So who was Simon? What do we know about him? Well, Mark 15:21 says this, a certain man from Cyrene, Simon the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. So there we learn that Simon was from Cyrene. Now, Cyrene was in northern Africa, located in what today would be modern-day Libya. Cyrene had a very large Jewish population. It was about 850 miles from Jerusalem. So it's possible that Simon was a Jewish convert, and he had traveled from Cyrene to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover at this time. There were many people from Cyrene living in Jerusalem at this time. In fact, they had enough people that they had their own synagogue in Jerusalem. The Bible tells us on the day of Pentecost, there were Jews from Cyrene there present. So maybe he was a Jew, and maybe he had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Of course, it might be that he wasn't religious at all. It could be that the Bible mentions he was from Cyrene to let us know that he wasn't from Jerusalem, he wasn't from Judea, that he wasn't Jewish. In fact, some suggest that's why he was chosen to carry the cross, that the Romans looked out. They did not want to choose a Jewish person because it was the Passover, and if they carried the cross, it would make them ceremonially unclean. So they purposely chose someone that looked like he was not Jewish. The Bible does say he was passing by on his way from the country, so he wasn't evidently part of the crowd that had yelled for Jesus' crucifixion. But the fact is, we don't know if he was Jewish. We don't know if he traveled from Cyrene or if he was now living in the area. We can only make some educated guesses, but that's all they are They're just guesses. But we do know that he was at least originally from Cyrene, and we know that he carried the cross of Jesus. The Bible does seem to suggest that later this man became a Christian. In Mark verse 21, it says, a certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus. That's important that Mark names those men. Remember, when the Gospels were written, although they're written for everyone, Matthew wrote basically for the Jewish mind, has a lot of prophecy in there. Luke wrote for the Gentile or the Greek mind. John wrote for everyone, and Mark wrote basically to the Romans. It was a very short book compared to the others, and we see a lot of Jesus' miracles and his power, and that would connect with the Romans. So Mark wrote basically to the Romans. So as he writes to the Roman church, he mentions the sons of Simon. Warren Wiersbe wrote in his commentary, it seems likely that Simon's humiliating experience of carrying the cross resulted in his conversion as well as the conversion of his family. Romans chapter 16, verse 13 says, greet Rufus. Rufus was one of the ones mentioned by Mark. But something happened. Whether it was right then, whether Jesus said something that to Simon, or whether Simon stayed and watched Jesus die on the cross, or whether he was there on Pentecost and heard Peter preach about the resurrection, it seems likely that Simon, somewhere along the line, became a Christian. If that is the case, then Simon carried his cross for Jesus twice, once when he was forced to, and once voluntarily after he became a follower of Jesus. Because that's what Jesus calls all of us as followers to do, to take up our cross and follow him. After Peter made the great confession, we read in Luke chapter 9 that Jesus said this, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he, notice the next word there, must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow after me. So I can understand why Simon might not want to carry the cross of Jesus. It was not an easy task. It was a difficult task. Even if Simon was young and healthy, it would not be easy to carry that cross up the hill to Golgotha. Go out and buy a piece of wood that's 8x8 and 8 foot long. Take it up to the high school and put it on your shoulders and carry it up the football field. Then turn around and carry it back again. Turn around and carry it again. Turn around and do it again. Then turn around and do it one more time. That's about the distance that they would have to carry the cross from Pilate's palace up to the hill. Now, that's only if it was the crossbar. Go out and buy another piece of wood that's 12 foot long, 8x8. Add that to the piece of wood you already have and put that in your shoulders and try to carry it back and forth. Five times. See, it was a difficult task, not an easy thing for him to do. Simon did not want to carry the cross. It was an easy thing to do. He did not volunteer. It was also an inconvenient task. I don't know what was on Simon's to-do list that day, but he did not come to Jerusalem for the purpose of carrying the cross of Christ. I can understand why Simon might have been reluctant to carry the cross. And I can understand why some of us might be reluctant to carry the cross, because it's difficult. It's inconvenient. Taking up your cross and following Jesus means denying yourself. That is difficult. That is inconvenient. But that's exactly what Jesus calls us to do. It wasn't easy for Jesus to take up his cross. In Gethsemane, he prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He did not want to have his disciples desert him. He did not want to be beaten or falsely accused or flogged or nailed to the cross. He did not want to take our sins upon his shoulders. But he was willing to deny himself. He did what he did not want to do in order to do what God wanted him to do. You know, we live in a society that knows very little bit about denying themselves. Life is about self-fulfillment. Life is about self-gratification. And unfortunately, that's true for a lot of Christians too. Deny myself consistently to meet around the Lord's table every Sunday? I don't think I want to do that. God will understand. deny my kids an opportunity to play in a sport just so they can come to church? No, I don't think I want to do that. I think God will understand. Deny myself that new fancy car that I want to get just in order so I can tithe? No, I don't think I want to do that. I think God will understand. Deny myself some sensual pleasure? Are you kidding? I mean, God gave me these feelings. Certainly he'll understand. All you have to do is look at the cross of Christ to understand that God will not understand. Taking up a cross and following Jesus means doing God's will, not necessarily doing our will. It means that we will deny ourselves what we might want to do what God wants us to do. So taking up your cross and following after Jesus involves denying yourself, but it also involves total commitment. That's what the cross is about. Total commitment, total sacrifice. When Jesus talks about us taking up our cross, he's not talking about taking up some burden that we have to bear, living with some burden that we have to bear. You hear people say that all the time. My mean boss, that's the cross I have to bear. My difficult mother-in-law, you know, that's a cross I have to bear. This health problem I have, it's a cross I have to bear. My loss of income, this is a cross I have to bear. No, those things may be burdens. Those things may lay heavily upon you, but that's not what Christ is talking about when he says, deny yourself, take up our cross, and follow him. He's talking about a life totally committed to the will of God. Take up your cross and following after Jesus means you're more in love with Jesus than even your own lives. This type of dedication that Jesus calls us to, this is the type of dedication he calls us to. In Luke 14:27, he says, and anyone who does not carry his cross and follow after me, notice that, cannot be my disciple. Now, Jesus said the same thing using other words many different times. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. What's he talking about there? He's talking about being sold out for God, loving him with everything. He's talking about total commitment. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What's he talking about there? Again, he's talking about total commitment. Maybe we need to deny ourselves to do that, but that's what he's calling us to do. Paul put it this way in Romans 12:1. He said, we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifice. Well, a sacrifice, that's total commitment. Now listen, the cross that Christ calls us to bear is voluntary. Simon was forced to carry the cross of Jesus. Jesus doesn't force anyone to carry the cross. He calls us to carry it. He expects us to carry it, but he doesn't force us to carry it. The decision is ours. So Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. It wasn't easy. It was extremely hard, harder than we can imagine. Paul reminds us that because of what Jesus did on the cross, God exalted him to the highest place. When we take up our cross and we follow after Jesus, we are also promised a reward beyond our imagination. So what does that mean for us? Well, what it means is carrying the cross may be very hard, but it's worth it. It's worth it. So if you're here this morning, you know the question you need to ask yourself, am I carrying the cross that Jesus asked me to carry? We're going to close in just a moment with a prayer. Before we do, we want to remind you that at 10:05, we're going to be having a celebration service in Jim's retirement. So if you're planning to stay for that, you know, you're welcome to leave and come back. But by 10:05, we will be doing that. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we're grateful that we could be here today, grateful for the opportunity to serve you, and most grateful that we can open your word and see this special calling that you've given us. We know Jesus went to the cross and how important that was. And it's just as important that we, as your people, take up our cross and that we follow after Jesus so people in this world can see the difference he makes in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
If you'd like to join us in person, we're currently meeting at 9 and 10. 10:30 on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Check out our website at cocep.org for current info on services and social distancing guidelines. Have a great week.